Usually about 3 minutes left.
3 minutes.
So thank you all for and welcome back to the general agronomy session. Before we get started, if anybody needs CCA credits, Chief is here.
Is this same one?
It will. This will be. It'd be appropriate for the entire session. Same sign and chief. They promised me they're going to come around and collect it and record it for us. So I take them at their word. So for the speakers in the room that weren't here this morning, as the moderator, I will give you a 5 minute warning from the seat. And about 3 minutes left or so, 2.5 minutes left, I'll stand up and kind of move to the side over here so that you know we're getting close and we're going to wrap it up. First presentation after lunch is following up the previous one. Dr. Hunt is going to talk to us about cover crop system.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, my name is Derek Hunt. I work for Agriculture Canada. Ag is EBC, which is, I mentioned, for those that weren't here before lunch, it's about 3.5 hours north, a little bit east of Seattle. So we're in a warm, temperate, but very wet climate. So my talk is about cover crop systems with corn to optimize overall farm feed production. Just quickly, I had this slide before. Southwestern BC, high winter rains, moderate temperatures, and we have a high producing dairy system, which produces about 60% of its own feed, but does import about 40%. So the dairy operations need to purchase this feed to maintain the high level of production, and these feeds add a cost to those farms, as well as they add an economic burden because they're bringing on more nutrients. And if land is limited, then these nutrients are lost to the environment, either with, such as nitrate leaching, greenhouse gas production, or ammonia emissions. And in BC, and also like Washington, this is similar to Western Washington State, the dairy farms purchase their feed, often like canola meal, soybean meal, things like that. But then they will supplement and buy in alfalfa as well as straw. So just some idea of the yields. We can get 18 to 16 tons from a poor year to a good year in grass. So that provides the fiber, energy, and protein preserved as hay, haylage, or silage. The corn silage, we can get yields from a poor year down 15 tons up to 25 metric tons per hectare per year to provide the energy and the high digestibility preserved as silage. So our overall objectives for our this set of projects we're working on is to increase the adaptive capacity of the producers by helping them to balance the use and management of their summer and winter season crops through species or variety selection and planting and harvesting dates. And the idea is to enable the farmers to adapt to changes in overall weather as well as seasonal weather. The long-term climate predictions for our area are for warmer, wetter winters, but also warmer and way more drier summers as well. So we'll end up into some summer drought conditions. Even though we have 1.2, 1.3, 1.4 meters of annual rainfall, we'll still get that, but it'll be unevenly distributed. So to increase adaptive capacity is to provide the tools to optimally balance land allocation, which was part of the talk before lunch, of perennial crops, but also with annual crops, so as to maximize and stabilize production of the farm nutrients. So that would be for crude fiber, protein, and the digestibility of the feed. And then we can add to the adaptive capacity of the farmers and by reducing their dependence on farm imported feeds and also reduce the burden of excessive nutrients. This specific study is to optimize year-round production of a corn winter cover crop system and reduce their purchased feed costs by producing more feed out of season of corn with the winter cover crops. And the approach is to find a combination of corn maturity, corn planting date, harvest date, with cover crop species to maximize year-round production of quality dairy feed. This is a typical farm calendar. 30 years ago, I'd say 80% of the farmers were in the bottom one. They plant their corn, they have winter fallow, and then they plant their corn again. Maybe playing around with some maturities, but not much. 20% of those farmers were using fall rye as their winter cover. Few of them harvested as feed, many of them plowed it, mowed it down and plowed it in and went to corn. Now at least 80% of the producers are growing winter wheat as a cover crop, but they're not playing around with harvest and planting dates of their corn or with much selection of cover crops. So materials and methods for this experiment, so we had all combinations of two planting dates. For us, early is end of April, first week of May. Later is mid-May to end of May. Two harvesting dates, about the earliest we can get, end of August, first week of September, and the latest is end of September, early October. We've got two corn maturities and four winter cover crops. The winter cover crops are planted after we harvest the corn, and then they are then subsequently harvested before we plant in the spring. The two silage hybrids, a Pioneer 7443, it's a 2100 heat unit, Ontario heat unit, so I call it a CHU. That's about a 70-day U.S. corn. And our later mature in 2700 heat units is an 88-day corn. So about the highest we can go to is maybe a 3,000, at the best years, 3,200 corn heat units. So we don't have the longer day corn. And we're using as the cover crops what would be the farm standard at the moment, which is winter wheat, a legume, using common winter vetch. The highest yielding we've had historically has been from fall rice, we put that in. And the highest feed quality we get from a winter cover crop combined with yield is Italian ryegrass. So the total N application is 300 kilos of N per hectare per year. We put 100 on the winter cover crop as late winter, early spring. And then we applied 200 broadcast pre-plant, or actually 180 broadcast pre-plant, and then 20 kilos of N sidebanded with phosphorus at planting time. The other nutrients were applied according to corn test. The first year we tried this is 2015, and we have two production years of corn, this year and last year, and so far one production year with the winter cover crops. It's a split plot design. The main plot is the harvest planting date combination. Subplot is the corn hybrid, and within that subplot we've got the winter annuals. So the 2x2x2x4 gives us 32 planting combinations with four reps. This is the study farm calendar. It's helped me get it in my mind and schedule things for the field. So this would be for one corn hybrid. So, for example, the low day corn, and we'll plant early, harvest late, plant late, harvest late, plant early, the 2x2 combination, etc., with the four winter cover crops in combination. And then that's then doubled with the other corn hybrid. It's just I've got a few shots of it planted May 24th on the left and planted April 27th on the right. Our corn sits there and does often very little in the first month, but it is putting on a lot of root growth. And it makes a big difference. Planting date is a major factor. The earlier we can plant, the better we get total yield, the better corn maturity, and the better grain percentage we get at final harvest. This is this spring, planted May 24 on the left, May 9th on the right. And that's a significant difference. It's, 15 days, but that turns into a significant difference at harvest time. We're always chasing, trying to beat the weather in the fall to avoid fall rains, because if we get hit with the fall rains, it's very difficult to harvest and a lot of mud and get stuck in the fields. And on the left, the corn that was going to be cut September 24th, 2015, and we'd already harvested the corn on the center part of that and planted the winter annuals by September 1. And just another one showing it in the spring of this year. The left is, and the little piece on the right, is a strip of corn planted May 9th, and then we've got our annuals harvested May 10th. And that's, we use a moldboard plow disc and then plant into that. We plant into it with a MaxiMerge 2 John Deere planter with a no-till apparatus to deal with any kind of root residue and stubble residue. So the results for corn silage, we didn't see any significant effect on corn silage yield from the previous winter, from 2015-2016, for the eight combinations of planting date, harvest date, and corn heat units. There was a slight yield reduction for one of the combinations for the Italian ryegrass, but it wasn't significant. But in the past, we have seen a reduction in corn yield from Italian ryegrass. The highest yield was obtained from the early plant and late harvest system for both the low and the high corn heat units, and just the high heat unit in 2015. The low corn heat unit in 2015 was not significant across all of the harvest and planting combinations. In terms of grain percentage, the grain percentage is important because that's what gives us the quality of the feed. The higher the grain percentage, the more energy in that feed, the more digestibility, and then higher milk production per acre from that corn produced. So the low maturity, or the lower day corn, has constantly significantly higher grain percentage than the late maturity hybrid for both years. In terms of the harvest and planting management, we got highest grain percentage for both the low and the high heat units in 2016. And only significant for the high corn heat unit in 2015. For the earlier gain, a low heat unit in 2014, it wasn't significant. For the winter annuals, we had no significant effect of the previous corn hybrid on subsequent winter annuals yield, which was to be expected. And the highest yields were obtained from the late planting, early harvesting corn combination, which equals an early plant, late harvest winter annual. So this is in competition. So the longer season we have for the corn growth, the lower yield for the winter annuals. The shorter the corn growing season, the longer the winter annual season, and the biggest yield. It's what we expected. And the highest yields are attained for fall rye and winter wheat. And we had a really good year. We're getting up to 7.8 tons per hectare of winter wheat out of this. And it out-yielded the fall rye, which we didn't expect. And this could be because from the work we did years ago, there could be newer varieties of winter wheat we didn't test years ago or just better genetics. Whereas the fall rye, I think, we're using the same type of fall rye. So if I put all 32 combinations together, what I'm looking for at the end of the year is, or the end of this 18-month period, what combination of corn, winter annuals, and corn gives me the most yield? And then I'll want to look at the quality of that, so we need to produce the quality feed. So someone in an earlier presentation said today, you don't want to look at all of these things. I forget who that was, but same here. You don't want to look at all these combinations. So I put the orange arrows there to the right just to look at six of these combinations, which is in this graph. So I'm just looking at the plant early, harvest late, planting and harvest management for a low heat unit and a high heat unit, and then looking for what gave us the highest yield. So over the 18 months, the plant early with a late maturity corn and harvest late produced the most yield when it was combined with fall rye or winter wheat. So that gave us a total of 32.5 and 32.9 tons per hectare over the 18 months. And close behind that was the Italian ryegrass at 31.8. But under the other management, with the same cut-in management, harvest management, with low heat unit corn, we're getting significantly lower yields of 28.8, 28.6, 27.7. But the key thing is we're getting a way higher grain percentage in 2015 and in 2016. And this equates to way higher digestibility and energy value of that corn silage. And as on a yield basis, we'd go for the high heat unit corn. But for quality, overall, when this turns into digestible feed and ADF of that feed, we have to evaluate both the feed quality as well as the yielding combination. So our preliminary results, the early planting late harvest system produces the highest yields. The late planting early harvest system produces the highest yields for winter annuals. Sorry, the previous one was the corn. And the combinations of the corn maturity, planting date, harvest date, and cover crop species significantly changes the total yields for this year-round production system. But under the different management combinations, we also have significant changes in the grain percentage of the corn silage and also different stages of winter annuals when we're going to harvest them, and that's going to affect the feed quality of those. So we need to analyze this for feed quality. So our ongoing work is to continue the yield studies for corn and for the winter annuals, feed analysis for both the corn and the winter annuals, use dairy nutrition models to see how these balance together, and with the talk I did before lunch, we'll be balancing these models with the grass systems as well, and then use whole farm models. And we're looking at other winter annuals and or mixtures. So the ongoing work is we're looking at other, I think we had about 30 different combinations of cereals, four winter wheats, triticale, hard red spring wheat, barley, fall rye. We're looking at Italian ryegrass and the legumes. We have marketed in our area four types of vetches, and they do yield differently. And even though winter vetch to me is supposed to be the same as hairy vetch, I got it from two different companies and there were significant differences in yield. So we look at different types of vetches, clovers, and a white mustard and a radish. And some of the mixtures, because we're seeing if we can add protein to that winter wheat by incorporating Italian ryegrass into the winter wheat mixture, or the companies thinking that they have a marketing edge if they can market Italian ryegrass and winter peas and winter wheat. I don't know if that'll work because there'll be too much competition for the winter wheat with the Italian ryegrass and the peas, but it's something interesting to look at. And then we have some fall rye winter wheat combinations with the other cereals. The ongoing feed quality analysis is all the feed parameters, crude protein, ADF, NDF, and digestibilities. That'll be done by Karen Koenig in Lethbridge. And these are the examples of the dairy nutrition models that we'll be using to balance these diets with our grass production. And that's it. Thank you.